Recession or not, the show goes on at Sebring. GoBosch has a glass panel LSA under 100K. And Liberty expands its sales presence to all 50 states. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, January 23rd, 2009. The 5th U.S. Sport Aviation Expo opened yesterday morning at Sebring Regional Airport, following widely varying predictions on how the light sport aircraft industry would support the show during a deep recession. ANN's Rob Finfrock reported the conspicuous absence of a few aircraft manufacturers, and Expo Chairman Bob Wood confirmed to EAA that outdoor exhibitors are off about 20% this year. But, he added, demand for indoor space actually increased over last year. Major announcements by manufacturers form a much shorter list this year than last, but the show runs through Sunday, weather's forecast to be good, it's a great time of year to visit Florida, and organizers say they believe they're on a pace to draw a total attendance of 10,000 people by the time the show ends. GoBosch Aviation had an announcement on opening day at Sebring. The company, which distinguishes its LSA from the pack using the term luxury sport aircraft, introduced a stablemate to its ambitious 700S model. Starting from the 700S's all-metal construction and high level of standard equipment, the new 700X adds a panel featuring a single Dynon D180 EFIS and EMS display and a Garmin GPS 196. We've come to expect glass cockpits pretty much everywhere these days, but the GoBosch 700X has been brought in at a suggested list price of $99,990. That's $10,000 less than the company's own 700S Sport with steam gauges. GoBosch President Tim Baldwin explained that since the 700S was introduced at AirVenture in 2007, quote, a number of sport pilots and flight schools who prefer a rugged all-metal aircraft have asked about offering a GoBosch 700 with an electronic primary flight display, unquote. To sweeten the proposition, GoBosch is offering incentives, including $5,000 in discounts or upgrades for the first six customers depositing at least $25,000 on the new model. Full details are available at www.gobosch.aero. There are a few more announcements expected at Sebring this year. We have staff there. We'll bring you more highlights over the weekend in text form at aero-news.net. Liberty Aerospace announced on Thursday it now has in place its expanded U.S. sales and marketing organization, including 10 regional sales managers representing the Liberty XL2 in all 50 states. The XL2 is a two-seat composite IFR-capable trainer powered by a fuel-injected Continental IOF-240B with FADEC, offering both 125 horsepower and low fuel burn. Liberty's marketing makes the case for the XL2 as an efficient trainer, especially when IFR capability is required. Liberty Aircraft USA is the name of the company administering the U.S. sales and marketing effort. President George Johnson laid out the plan going forward. Quote, our goal at Liberty Aircraft USA is to bring what we believe is the best next-generation training and touring aircraft to the marketplace in the United States. Our mission is to create raving fans, unquote. While the U.S. sales presence is spoken for, Liberty Aerospace, which is based in Melbourne, Florida, is still seeking sales representation in many international markets. Up next on ANN, American Airlines loses $340 million in the fourth quarter. United loses $1.3 billion, and Boeing rethinks outsourcing for the Dreamliner. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 23rd. I'm Paul Plack. American Airlines cut flights and unbundled services and managed to eke out an increase in revenue per passenger seat mile in 2008's fourth quarter, but it wasn't enough to prevent a $340 million quarterly loss. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports parent company AMR Corporation Wednesday blamed that loss on higher fuel prices. The company, which is based in Fort Worth, also reported special charges totaling $103 million related to a large number of its senior pilots retiring. Another $23 million expense was related to taking planes out of service to affect those capacity cuts. The $340 million loss is up sharply from 2007's fourth quarter, when AMR lost $69 million. Still, the 2008 number, which works out to 77 cents per share without the special charges, is about what analysts had predicted. AMR says it will cut capacity more aggressively than first planned this year, but CEO Gerard Arpey says he is nevertheless, quote, guardedly optimistic for our prospects in 2009, unquote. Investors, on the other hand, not so much. The stock lost about a third of its value after Wednesday's announcement, ending trading on Thursday at $7.73 per share on the New York Stock Exchange. United Airlines says its attempt to hedge fuel more aggressively in 2008 turned out to be a bad bet. UAL Corporation reports that $370 million in cash losses on fuel contracts and another $566 million non-cash charge to adjust contracts to current market values drove a fourth quarter loss totaling $1.3 billion. Sales was reported down 9.6% for the quarter. United now says it will increase the number of planned job cuts by 1,000. That'll raise the total to 9,000 by the end of this year. But capacity, which was slated to be chopped 11% in 2009, will now be cut only 9.5%. Chief Operating Officer John Tagg tells Bloomberg, United has seen demand drop, with customers, quote, not only traveling less, but buying down from premium cabins to coach cabins. We are seeing double-digit declines in international premium traffic, unquote. UAL stock fell from a high near $12.50 on Tuesday to under $10, but had rebounded Thursday to close at $11.45. Labor unions may be poised for a huge I told you so at Boeing's expense. Business Week is reporting that after four major delays and two lost years, Boeing is rethinking its strategy of outsourcing so much of the construction of its new 787 Dreamliner. IAM members made limits on outsourcing a major bargaining issue in the settlement of their 58-day strike against the company last year. Boeing engineers say problems with partners have forced the companies to repeatedly send staffers out to suppliers to resolve issues. The first 787 flight was supposed to happen in August of 2007. Boeing now hopes to make it happen by this June. First deliveries are now projected for spring of 2010. In planning for future variants of the 787, Boeing appears to be reducing reliance on outsourcing. That shift could upset the plans of companies worldwide, but Boeing Commercial Airplanes CEO Scott Carson was clear in comments to reporters back in November. Quote, "We fully recognize that we made some mistakes. On the 787-9, we are pulling more of the engineering back inside to try and alleviate some of the issues we've had." Unquote. Engineering VP Mike Denton has said, quote, "Our engineers and production workers are basically correcting the problems that should have never come to us in the first place. We will probably do more of the design and even some of the major production for the next new airplanes ourselves, as opposed to having it all out with the partners." Unquote. Still ahead, United Technologies turns in a strong finish to 2008. Marcus Schrenker pleads not guilty. And a first-year pilot makes a successful dead-stick landing in Texas. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, January 23rd. I'm Paul Platt. Times are tough, but there are some companies still doing okay. United Technologies Corporation released its 2008 fourth quarter numbers this week, and they're not too shabby, especially for a recession. The parent company of aircraft names like Pratt & Whitney, Rocketdyne, Sikorsky & Schweitzer, Carrier HVAC Systems, and Otis Elevators reported fourth quarter earnings per share of $1.23, up 14%, and net income of $1.1 billion, up 8% compared to 2007's fourth quarter. Quarterly revenues were $14.5 billion, that's down 1% from the previous year, blamed by the company on adverse foreign exchange translation. CEO Luis Chenevert explained the strong performance, quote, "Balance works at UTC. While carriers saw organic revenue decline 7% in the quarter, all other units reported organic growth, with Sikorsky at an exceptional 25%. We remain confident that UTC's strong global franchises and experienced management team will continue to outperform even in this environment," unquote. We promised you updates on the Marcus Schrenker case. Yesterday, the 38-year-old Indiana investment advisor was in federal court in Pensacola, Florida, to enter a plea of not guilty to charges he tried to fake his own death, sent his unoccupied plane on autopilot to crash in Florida, and originated a false distress call before bailing out over Alabama. Schrenker's attorney told the court his client is not mentally competent to stand trial. Judge Roger Vinson ordered Schrenker sent for psychiatric evaluation in Miami as the next step. Meanwhile, back at the Indiana Department of Insurance, investors turned out to tell Judge Doug Weber how Schrenker forged signatures on annuity applications, sold insurance in states where he wasn't licensed, failed to disclose early withdrawal penalties to customers, altered documents, and lied to cover it all up. The Fisher Star reports that after it was all over, Judge Weber told investigators, quote, "You have proved that he engaged in a course of conduct in which there has been massive misrepresentation by him or Heritage Wealth Management. The evidence is overwhelming," unquote. With that, the judge ordered the revocation of the insurance licenses of both Schrenker and his company. State regulators want Schrenker fined $270,000 in order to pay another $320,000 in restitution. And finally, a pilot who only started flying about a year ago had the poise to make a successful forced landing on a golf course in Plano, Texas yesterday afternoon. But Lance Sparks isn't your typical first-year pilot. He told investigators he's already logged over 500 hours. That's more than many CFIs log in a year. CBS 11 TV News reports that Sparks picked the spot at Prestonwood Country Club Golf Course because it was, quote, "the clearest area I could find," unquote. He added he was very familiar with that area, and options were few when the engine in his 64 Cessna 172 couldn't be restarted at 2,500 feet. The TV station, of course, couldn't stop itself from sensationalizing the incident. Quote, "Given how many homes are around the area and how many golfers were out, it was remarkable that no one was injured," unquote. Not to be out-hyped by the boob tube, the Plano Courier-Star has headlined the story, quote, "Plane takes crash landing on Plano golf course," unquote. Pictures from the scene show an apparently intact old 172 resting propped down in a sand trap. Lance Sparks. What a great name. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll learn about an experimental avian radar system at SeaTac that can detect bird movements. It's part two of my conversation with Steve Osmick, the wildlife biologist for the Port of Seattle. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them at iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend, and have a clear and unlimited day.